hiding, but you'd never know. Cause I played it cool when I was scared of letting go. I knew I needed you, but I'd never show. But I wanna stay with you until we're growing old. Just say you won't let go. Just say you won't let go.
The Cure with Amy Cabo. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Cure. I'm your host, Amy Cabo, joined by Boris in everything we do, like always. And by the way, today is his birthday. Our show.
That's me.
Our show is available live on the radio through our app called The Cure and on our website, godisthecure.com. We are broadcasting live from Miami, also on Facebook. Search for God is the Cure, and please click on Send the Message button and send us a message, question, or comment. We would love to hear from you. This show deals with suffering and the tenacity of the human spirit, the will to survive, and the courage to keep moving forward, despite any obstacle, with the help of God and each other. We do provide testimonials to let people know that they're not alone on this show. And the testimony started with me, having been a survivor from child abuse well into young adulthood. We also have professionals in the medical field and inspirational speakers that are willing to help and can give valuable information because education is key, transparency is needed, and I believe we can help each other. For me, my blessing came from God, but other forms of healing are presented as well to service everyone. Life can be very challenging, but always know that we are not alone. I knew I always loved God. I did play it cool, and I was scared of letting go. But God was all I had, and things never worked out when I wasn't close to Him. Maybe I never showed my love for Him, but now that there's more to love, I know I want us, at least for my family and I, to stay close to God, even until we're gray and old. Today we will be discussing if it is possible to defy death, even at its most extreme. Proving that miracles are possible and do occur is our special guest, Robbie Dillmore. Robbie is a friend, and he does a lot of radio, 6 radio shows, either hosting or co-hosting, and helps other shows syndicate their radio shows with the Truth Network. But his wife, Tammy, will tell you, he has more than 9 lives. More than a cat. His best friend is someone we should all get to know better. Jesus Christ. And God has allowed Bobby to share that friendship in many ways. Robbie, thank you for being on the show. You're now live on The Cure.
How fun. To actually get to be a guest for a change. This is exciting.
It is nice. Thank you for having me. Being here.
Well, that's great. When you get to experience the other side, that's the best way to understand the other person. But Robbie, you have an incredible story. In fact, I saw you on TV, and you gave an incredible interview. It was amazing the things that I heard. Could you tell us something about what happened to you?
Sure, absolutely. My story's a lot different than yours, Amy, in that I came to Christ really, really later in life, like when I was in my late 30s. And I was a car salesman, very much a car salesman, and a heathen. You know, so that's the idea that Christian car guy never just seemed, you know, kosher. But anyway, I think that God allowed certain things in my life because He knew that the distance between your head and your heart is, you know, a long, long, long way. And although my head understood love, my heart certainly really didn't, and didn't specifically understand His love. So in 1996, I was... diagnosed with what was called killer cell lymphoma, which was essentially these little sores that broke out all over my body. And when they did the biopsy, they came back with this diagnosis of this particular T-cell type of lymphoma. My sister at the time worked at the University of Michigan Hospital. She got a hold of the information from the doctor, and she called me and told me, "Wow, Robbie, there's only ever been 3 cases like this in the country, and none of them lived 2 months."
Wow.
I was like, "Well, you know, thanks for
that's
the encouragement,
crazy.
Sis."
That's terrible news. How'd you take that?
You know, it was kind of strange that I was sitting at my desk when I got the original call from the dermatologist to tell me, and I was. They said, "You need to come in. We need to talk to you." And I said, "No, no, I'm a big boy. You can tell me over the phone whatever's going on. I can handle it."
Okay.
And when they said, "Well, you have lymphoma," I said, "Well, what's lymphoma?" Because I really didn't even know what it was. And they said, "Well, that's, you know, cancer of the lymph system." And I said, "Well, I'll be right there." I went from a very, I guess, cocky person to somebody that was all of a sudden very, very humble. And, you know, all of a sudden I was like, "Oh, my goodness." You know, at the time I was in my 40s, and I thought this couldn't be good. My kids were really, really young, and it was a really, really, really scary time. But the truth is I thought more about what's my family going to do than really what does this mean for me. And I kept thinking, well, I guess the worst thing for me is I get to be in heaven with Jesus. And so that seemed to make some kind of sense to me. But right before I was to start chemotherapy, a preacher from one of the other churches, not the one I attended, that he happened into the dealership that I was working at, and he asked one of the salesmen up there, he said, "The Lord has told me there's somebody here that needs to be healed."
Wow.
And, you know, one of the salesmen said, "Well, that's probably Robbie, our general manager. He's in the back. He won't come out of his office because he's covered in these sores and he doesn't want anybody to see him." He said, "Why don't you go back there?" So
you were covered in sores?
Right. I was covered in these. They're actually tumors from the lymphoma, which were all in my skin. Yeah. And so, you know, I was back there and he came back. And he said, "The Lord has told me to come and pray over you and anoint you with oil." Well, had just come to Christ within the last couple, 3 years of that. I had no idea what that meant to be anointed with oil. I certainly wouldn't say I had the faith to be healed. I was just like, this guy's a bit of a nut, so I'm just going
to... So he doesn't bother you.
His thing.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, so I just, you know, he prayed over me, and he was a nice guy, really sweet. But when he anointed me with oil and he began to pray, I felt something, there's no doubt I did, that I really never felt before. It was a very unusual feeling. And he prayed, and then he left. And I really didn't think much more about that until the morning I was supposed to go start my chemotherapy. I woke up, and all the sores were gone.
Wait a second. So one doctor tells you you have cancer. Did you get a second opinion or anything like that? You just went straight with that doctor immediately, of course.
Well, what they did, it was actually a whole series of tests before they just said I had cancer. And
so
I,
they had the really confirmed
for
this.
About a month.
This,
they had all the pathology and they had all the, that was very, very much confirmed. They had done biopsies into my bones and... You know,
and I suppose these sores were painful and would get infected, or that must have been very hard for you.
And they weren't. They looked bad, and it was kind of embarrassing. So I didn't just go out and let everybody see me.
But just overnight, they disappeared.
Right. So I went to bed Sunday night. I woke up with all the sores. Monday morning, I woke up and I had no sores. Not one. They were all gone. And so I show up to the hospital to get my chemotherapy, and the doctor at the time, he's like, "What in the?"
like so who are you?
right.
Is this the same person?
What are we doing? So they did more biopsies in the very, because he knew, based on where the other biopsies were, where the sores had been, because he wanted to get some new pathology.
Okay.
And essentially what the diagnosis was at the time, they said, "Well, from what we can see, the cancer essentially turned on itself and ate itself."
What?
Yeah, that's...
the cancer.
Yeah.
Cancer attacked. Thought itself was an enemy, and attacked it.
Right.
Itself.
Right.
Like suicide. Right. Cancer suicide. Wow. Right. Cancer suicide. I didn't know that happened.
So they were still kind of freaked out because this was a really deadly form of lymphoma. So they wanted to do the chemotherapy anyway. And who was I to argue? I'm certainly not a patient, whatever. So I went ahead and did the chemotherapy, the round of chemotherapy that they had, you know, diagnosed for me. And, you know, just like they had asked, which certainly weakens your immune system and all this stuff. And Tammy and I and my son Robbie went out to celebrate that event that we had taken our last chemotherapy treatment. We thought we were on the other side of this cancer and all our problems. And as we were celebrating that event, I was getting out of the Jeep to actually unlock the hubs, and I went to get my son a root beer. And
well,
the person
Robbie,
had gotten out of there.
I definitely want to continue this because I'm interested in knowing what is a Jesus hug. But we're about to go into break, buddy. So
this is something they call heartbreaks.
I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. We will continue talking to Robbie after the short break. Please stay with us.
Right back with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Life can bring many difficult situations. Domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals Amy Cabo's life. A warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on GodIsTheCure.com or buying her book on Amazon.com.
Continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Welcome back to the show. And for those that are just tuning in, I'm Amy Cabo and this is The Cure. We're talking to Robbie about being saved by grace. We are live on the radio and also on Facebook. Later the show will be available on podcast. Search for The Cure on iTunes or any podcast channel. We've all been there where we feel like we're drowning and something is holding us down or killing us so softly, whether it be drugs, alcohol, an abusive environment, a medical condition, or self-sabotage behavior and thoughts. It can be tragic, and when we're told there's no chance of survival, we don't know what we're going to do. Who do we turn to? So, Robbie, that's my question for you. Please tell us, who did you turn to at such a trying time, and how did you survive this?
Yeah, with the cancer, you know, it was really a difficult thing to process emotionally and mental, and you know, in my heart, so to speak, because I actually was diagnosed about the same time as another friend who didn't make it.
Wow.
And he was a young father like myself, and I used to think, you know, God, why did you take Brad and not me? You know, that's a natural thing of you know, how does this work out, and what exactly does this mean? And so again, being that I was new in Christ and really trying to understand my faith, I had a lot of those kind of questions. And so I was still reeling, certainly, from the cancer when the Jeep accident occurred.
Have cancer when you had a Jeep accident?
No, he was just figuring out.
I had just taken my last chemotherapy treatment, so my immune system was totally compromised when
Wow.
I was crushed between the two cars. As I, you know, started that just before the break, that I was getting a root beer for my son. The person uphill from me got his, out of his car with his Jeep out of gear and unknowingly let it roll down the hill and crushed me between the two cars, which almost took off my left leg. And
wow.
I was way up in the mountains, and they couldn't get an air ambulance in there. And, you know, people were all freaking out, especially my wife and son.
I bet.
That was the time I did exactly what you're talking about, because as I laid on the ground, you know, and I could see that I was in serious trouble, I just cried out, Jesus, help me. And I'll never, ever forget that sensation of, like, Jesus coming, hugging you, like you're really being hugged by God himself, and him whispering in your ear, you're going to be okay. I've got that. You're going to be fine.
Wow.
And with this going on, the man that hit me, if you could imagine the poor guy, is literally standing over me going, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. You can imagine the emotions he's feeling as he sees this man on the lying on the ground with his leg almost off and bleeding to death as far as he was concerned. They were getting in shock or something. They can't get an ambulance up there. And he's trying to tell me how sorry he is. Well, as God has given me this hug, and all of a sudden I feel good, and I was like, I need to say something to take the load off this guy. So I just looked up at him, and I said, well, how's your insurance?
No, you didn't. You didn't make that joke. That is hilarious.
I actually did, and it just took the whole, it was like, there was this huge cloud that Satan had in mind. You know, you call him the pickpocket Amy. Well, he was going to pick everybody's pocket there at the Jeep Jamboree with the joy that they just had on this event. And wow. And Jesus came to the rescue. And again, I feel like he was saying, Robbie, this is more on the lesson plan of you really understanding how I'm going to come for you no matter what happens.
Nice.
And so they finally get an ambulance up there. They put my leg in this crazy blow-up thing. When they hit me with morphine, actually, Amy, I did not feel any better because I was already feeling great. Jesus had completely, I was not in any pain.
You know what it is? I think God had a liking for you because you didn't know any better. You didn't get to know him so late in life. So he said, oh, poor guy, he doesn't know any better. Let me help this guy out. But now you do. Thank God.
Yeah. Now, when Every time the ambulance hit a bump, that hurt.
Wow.
Getting out of the mountain. I remember that. But as we got to the hospital, the nurse, you know, really almost saved my life right here, because what happened was there was an emergency room guy, and he said he was going to take this cast off. And the nurse said, are you sure you want to do that? I think you probably ought to look at this x-ray before you take off that blow-up thing, because there's some serious trauma in that leg. And she says, you know, there was a Navy surgeon that came by here 2 days ago, and he said if we had any traumas, that we should call him because he was a surgeon in Vietnam.
And you know, who would know better?
And she said this guy is probably what we need in this situation. And the doctor that would have been doing the surgery is like, yeah, call him. And so while they're going to call him, you know, I'm talking to my wife. I said, well, what floor of the hospital am I on here? And she goes, Robbie, floor? This hospital is more like a doctor's office, too.
The first floor.
You know, this is in Murphy, North Carolina. This is like in the middle of the boonies. And so when this Navy surgeon comes in, I'll never, ever forget it, because, you know, he said, like, nurse, start him on 50 cc's of this, that, blah, blah, blah. We're going to do this, boom, boom, boom. And next thing I know, I'm waking up, and my leg is in all this apparatus and cast and stuff, and you know, they immediately want to transport me back to Winston-Salem to a big hospital that's done my chemotherapy treatment. They were anxious to get me, so they put me in an ambulance to drive all the way back there. Interestingly, my wife called our Sunday school class on the way, because we now belong to Calvary Baptist Church there in Winston-Salem. We get there like 2 in the morning, an entire Sunday school class. Because, you know, these guys had all been praying for me through the cancer. And now Robbie's come to the Baptist Hospital. He's been crushed by this Jeep. And when I get out of the ambulance there, there's like 50 people waiting on me. They're in an emergency room.
Wow, people loved you.
And it wasn't, well, as the nurse that was watching this, she said, "What church do you go to?" And, you know, when she was done, I said, well,
they had so many people
I go
there.
To Calvary Baptist Church. She goes, she said, "Man, one of you guys get hurt, you draw a crowd."
Well, that's funny.
Well,
wow.
You know,
big
what
family.
A testimony that is, I've never forgotten, you know, God was showing me something about how the church, not just he loves you, he showed me that when he came and hugged me, but here came all that Sunday school class. And that
whole
Sunday
community.
School class, I was in a wheelchair for like 2 years after that. And that Sunday school class built a wheelchair ramp on the back of my, I mean, just thing after thing that God did to show me that he really, really loved me. But interestingly, Amy, those two episodes are not where I really got close to death.
Well, there's more? Wow.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
he said he had like 9 lives or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And the worst one was actually 2 years later, after I got my leg put back together.
And are you still doing chemotherapy at this point?
Yeah, they finished my chemotherapy, they think.
And you're
and
in remission.
All kinds.
Cured.
It actually took several
cured?
To get my leg back together.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Wait.
He was
well,
cured.
As far
cured.
As I know, but we're going to go back there in a second, okay? So.
Okay.
In 2000, I get this.
Oh, there's that break.
Unbelievable.
Robbie, there's that break. Sorry.
No.
We have been talking with Robbie about being saved. Please call if you have been experienced being saved by grace. 866-34-TRUTH. Again, that's 866-348-7884. We'd love to hear from you.
We will be right back with Amy Cabell and The Cure. Continue with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
We're back, and thanks for joining us. I'm Amy Cabell, and this is The Cure. We are live Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern on your radio and on our app, The Cure, live on Facebook. Search for God is a Cure and send us a question or message by clicking Send Message. Where do you go when the story's done? You can be who you were or who you will become. If you're not happy with who you were, be what you want to become. The sun does come down, and it comes back up, and the world, it turns no matter what. So if all goes wrong, as long as you're alive, darling, please just hold on. We are continuing our conversation with Robbie about his miraculous 9 lives. Robbie, which one are we on? Robbie, are you with us?
Okay. Yeah, which one is, I didn't hear the last part.
I think this is the third thing now. You had the cancer that you're fighting, that you were supposed to die in 2 months, and 2 months have gone by and you haven't died. And your lesions went away. And then you got crushed in between 2 cars. And now what? What else is happening to you?
Okay, so the year is now... The original started in 1996, and 2 years after my last surgery for my leg, getting me back together on the other in the year 2000, I get a headache that, you know, we've all had headaches, but then there's a headache that indicates that there's something really, really wrong. So eventually my wife is convinced I need to go to the hospital, and when they do a CAT scan, they find inflammation or swelling in what they call the meninges part of my brain.
Meningitis.
And of course, they believe... they believe that the lymphoma has come back, but unfortunately it's come back in that membrane between your skull and your brain.
Wow.
Wow.
Which is really, really bad place to get it.
Yes.
Because, you know, it could obviously take you out. So they decide to do what is called a brain biopsy, which doesn't sound like that big a deal when I first heard it, but I came to determine that it's
actually a very, very big deal, yeah.
They just didn't want to scare you. Go ahead. Yeah.
They did this and actually came back with, we don't have a clue what's going on. That, the horrible thing was that they introduced a staph infection into my brain.
Oh, yeah.
It's hospital acquired.
And
yeah. Wow.
That quickly spread to become an abscess in my brain.
Wow. So bottom line, if you get a headache, go to a specific hospital. Yeah. Don't go to any hospital. Got it.
So wow. Now they've got a titanium plate that they believe may have the staph infection on it, so they want to do more surgery to take titanium plate back out.
Wow.
And at this point in time, my head is hurting like probably the worst pain I ever experienced in my life. And nothing they're giving me is doing any good. And I'm waiting to get into the emergency room in more pain than I've ever been in my life. And obviously, at this point, you're asking God, what in the world?
I mean,
wow. And think about the similarity to your own story, Amy.
Yes.
I mean, seriously, you keep running up against something time and time again. That why are they still abusing me? Why does this keep happening to me? What is going on with it? You know, why does this keep happening? And in my life, you know, here we are.
Maybe because God will know. God knows your faith will be big enough. Because doesn't He not give us anything we cannot handle?
And interestingly, and He always shows up along the way to show you you're not alone, which is something you mentioned at the beginning of the show. It's so true. So they can't get, some catastrophe happens in the OR. They can't get in the emergency room. You know, my head's exploding, and they push me off into a little room while they're trying to deal with whatever it is that they're dealing with. And I'm aware that you know, I was just hoping for something to put me out so I wouldn't be in pain so bad. And in comes a nurse. Well, this nurse, her name is Ramona Sechrist. She just happens to be in my Sunday school class.
Wow.
Wow.
That's not coincidence.
And she takes my hand. Now, you, my head hurt like nobody has any idea. And all she did was hold my hand. That's all she did.
And the pain went away.
No, the pain didn't go away. But I knew that was, I knew it was God saying the same thing He told me with the Jesus hug, but actually in its own way, this one's my favorite. Because this time He didn't save me from the pain, He saved me through the pain.
Wow.
And I think it's significant, and it was a lesson again that I wouldn't wish on anybody, but it made the difference between my head and my heart.
It gave you hope again.
My head.
Did it give you hope?
My head because knows about God, right?
You would be at a point where I don't know how anyone would have any hope left. And
yeah. So what a beautiful picture He gave me, and I actually could tell you, but I'm not going to. Another four or five stories along those lines, because like you, I went through a lot of things. But I want to get to that one because, to me, that was the closest I ever came to death. In fact, shortly after that surgery, I can remember a nurse coming in and saying, Mr. Dillmore, you know, the abscess is out of control. We're going to hang this antibiotic here, but we really think you need to make your plans for your funeral, you know, those kind of things.
Wow.
And And so, you know, that time I really, really looked death in the eye and thought it was coming. And once again, God saved me through that. But, you know, I have a Bible at home that I, you know, is a treasure to me. And for whatever reason, God gave me a red pen to use at that time during that month I was dealing with that abscess in my brain. And those passages that I circled in that point in my life are written in red ink. And, you know, for me, any time that anything is going on that seems to overwhelm me, I can always go back and go, really? He's here. He's coming through for you, Robbie. It's what you talked about, grace. It's that, Robbie, you're his favorite. He loves you, and there is nothing that's going to stand between you and him. Nothing. And that's faith. And that's being at that place where, oh, my goodness, you know, thank you, Lord, for what you put in my life.
Yeah, such a great lesson to all of us.
And it's that special feeling that God gives us that nobody can explain. Even in revival concerts, you see people with so much passion in what they believe in. You don't see that in concerts. You don't see that in even presidential things. You don't see it like that. It's that special relationship that one has with God. And Robbie, your faith saved you. And God knew you'd have the faith. But you've had different experiences as well. I know also that you are in the organization of the Church of Scientology. How does a Christian? I mean, how does that happen?
I remember, good question. That's a great question.
So, but hey, Robbie,
we're going to go. You know, we're talking about the year 2000, but if you're going to talk about the Church of Scientology, you're going to have to go back to like 1977.
Oh, that's before.
I was definitely looking for God in all the wrong places.
Well, I guess he was patient with you.
It might be a hit. And a girl from the Church of Scientology one night knocked on my door, and when I was living in Albuquerque, working in the car business, and she was selling Dianetics, the Modern Science of Mental Health, which is the book that will usually get people into Scientology.
Oh. And she must have been pretty.
She was, but not that pretty. She just interested me. She said, you know, you're going to read this book and you're going to call me in the morning.
Oh, there you go.
I kind of bought it to get her out of the door because I was working through some of the time. And then that night I read that book, and that book made sense to me because it had some truth in it. This packaged by a bunch of lies, but it was, yeah. It had some truth in it.
Those are called half-truths.
What happens, then I bet you found this in your life.
Well, we have one more segment to talk about this, Robbie, because don't worry, we have another 15 minutes, another 10 minutes. You're a radio guy. You know this. When we're back, we will continue talking with Robbie about being saved by God and what it's like to truly be in God's presence, not in Scientology or things that don't make sense, but really in God's presence. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure.
We will be right back with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
It was like I've been awakened. Every rule I had you break.
Continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
We're back. Thanks for being with us. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. You can listen to The Cure every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern on your radio, on our app The Cure, on social media. All shows are available also as a video podcast. Please check it out. Look for The Cure. We're also live on Facebook. Message us. Look for God is the Cure. I have been awakened, and I'm never again going to shut God out. I'm never going to shut him out, because I did know better. I was a Catholic girl gone wrong. And then a Catholic girl gone wrong, and then back like the prodigal son turned Christian. Though I still pray rosaries, so technically I'm still Catholic. Everywhere we are surrounded by his embrace, because he is my saving grace. God has become everything I need and more, and now that there's more to love, I see halos everywhere. We are joined by Robbie Delmore, talking about amazing miracles that I did not even know were possible, and shocking stories like a Scientologist turned Christian. Robbie, how did you become a Christian? From a Scientologist? How did that happen?
All these things that happened to him, I guess, guided you.
Oh, well, actually, it was...
It took that much?
It did, but Scientology, you know, it was one of those things that just, like, I think we all know that we're meant for more than just this everyday life that we're living, and it seemed like, wow, this was the answer, you know, at the point that I was at, and these people were making a big deal out of me. I think the way that, you know, gangs bring you in and make a big deal out of you, or any other way that Satan's going to lure you.
That's how they do it in Scientology.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Like a cult.
They make a big deal out of you. Yeah, it is a
cult.
Wow. It is a cult. And
I didn't know there was cults.
Oh, very much so. And they bring you in, and then, you know, they send you out to make more cult members.
Oh. That's terrible.
Yeah. And what happened, actually, Amy, you said there was a pretty girl? Well, the pretty girl that came along was actually my wife, Tammy, who was very much a Christian.
There you go.
And she changed everything. She was like, well, if you're going to marry me, you got to go to church. And that, for a car salesman, you know, that's my day off. Sunday, really? You expect me to go?
Well, I had a similar reaction with my wife, you know.
But she was pretty, Amy. And so I went to church. And the pastor there does not
know. You mean she is pretty, right?
No, she is pretty. There you She's go. Beautiful. Absolutely. Good catch.
That's going to help me out. He's gotten really good.
So anyway, this pastor gave a sermon on listening prayer. And what he said, which made perfect sense to me, a complete heathen car salesman, that, you know, if God is really God, he knows everything that you're going to say in prayer. He gave you two ears and one mouth, so you need to do a lot more listening in prayer than you do need talking. And that made perfect sense to me. Then he had us sit in the pew and listen as God told us something. And I thought that was awesome. I completely took it on. Well, I still hadn't become a Christian, but it wasn't but a couple months later, my son ran away. My son by a previous marriage. And we had searched and searched and searched for him and couldn't find him. And it's like 3 a.m. and I'm losing my mind. And I finally figured, well, I could try that prayer. So I prayed that listening prayer, like, God, I need you right now. Like, please come. I'm listening. And Jesus showed up, and I heard it as clear as you can hear it. Robbie, I got this.
Wow.
And this was long before the Jeep accident, long before anything else. This was, you know, like 1984 or 5, whenever that was. So, not 20 minutes later, a police car pulls into the driveway. Leslie is in the back seat of that car. And the policeman said, it's the funniest thing. We were down on Lee Street, which is not where you want your son in Greensboro, North Carolina, by the way, at 3 in the morning. And all of a sudden, we saw this kid getting in this car with a bunch of people we didn't think he should. And we looked, and oh, his name is Leslie Dillmore. And we thought we'd better find out what's going on. So my son was rescued there by what I know was completely, from my perspective, an answer to prayer.
Yep.
Wow.
And at that point, I began reading the Bible. I started attending church. And I began to understand God on His terms.
You invested in God. You prioritized
Him. And I realized that I was a sinner that really, you know, if it weren't for Jesus, there's no way I could ever spend eternity. You know, I was the one that was really lost when I was praying.
Well, yes,
and
because
I needed that blood. Yeah.
Your life wasn't without challenges. Didn't you have to fight a religious spirit? How did you do that? And do we all have to go through that?
Yes, very much so.
Wow.
We do. And
everybody get ready.
You know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees are alive and well. Believe me, they are. And unfortunately, those guys usually hang out in churches. And unfortunately, those people have a great head knowledge about God, but they've never gotten to know Him. They've really never experienced Him. And so those people, they use a comparison, and they can tell you all the sinners in their church.
But isn't that judging?
Than going out and trying to.
Yeah, but you get clues. They talk the right talk, but then their actions, for example, they'll judge somebody, or they're like they're better than someone else, or their religion. Listen, hey, I don't think God ever wanted us to have different religions. I think He just wanted us to love Him and love one another. But it is what it is.
So when I come across somebody like you and Boris, when I know when I'm around them, I don't feel judged. I feel loved. I feel like I'm your favorite. Then I know. That's the real thing.
Nice.
I mean, that's how you know.
Oh, that's how you hope everyone can be. And I do have hope, Robbie. I know there's good in everyone. Because if God can bring out the best in me, He can bring out the best in anyone. All we have to do is pray. Yes, pray every day.
Well, you're not so difficult to bring the best in you.
Well, you know, and also I pray inspirational songs. Sometimes after my video rosary, it'll come like a spiritual song, and it's beautiful, and that's helpful too. And, you know, what you said, Robbie, it's also helpful. If we're going to have to deal with spirits and stuff like that, at least let's be equipped. We can try to grow. We can read spiritual things, read the Bible. I'm going to start.
Well, my wife is like you, Amy. You know, this morning, you know, you can hear the worship music, you can hear her singing, and she's singing to God. And I think if you really study the Old Testament, you'll find that Miriam sang to a rock, and that's what the water was coming out of, because it was Moses' sister that drew him out of the water, but later on you'll find her singing to Miriam's well. And I think women have a special, unique musical relationship with God that clearly you have. And I'd love to hear your take. In fact, I'm just blown away that you would pick Halo as a song for your last segment, because it's clearly, from my standpoint, one of my favorite secular songs I can think of, because it speaks so much to that embrace and that relationship that you can only really have with God.
I actually picked the last prayer thinking of you, too.
That's coming later.
Which means we just have only a few minutes left of the show. But I see what you mean, Robbie. And I'm sure you have a book that tells the rest of your lives for whoever may be interested. Or because you're evidence that God has amazing love for us. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it.
The book that was written on those stories is called Divine Intervention, 50 Stories of Amazing Miracles of God. It's called, again, Divine Intervention. It's written by Daniel Karazina. But also at my website, you know, ChristianCarGuy.com, there's all a lot more current stories and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, God's been amazing to give me platforms to share Him and share His love like He's done for you.
And you think I can relate regular songs to God. You have a car show, a radio show, and you're relating that to God. Because really, God is in everything. He's at work. He's at the car show. He's wherever. You can integrate life, God, into everyday life, into everything that you do. And the more you think about Him, the better. Those are my little hints.
I agree. I couldn't agree more.
But, guys, we've come to the end of the show. We have a little bit more. Robbie, is there anything that you'd like to say for those who may be dealing with near-death experiences where their hope may be low?
I know usually your listeners are dealing with some abuse issues or something that would be a little different. Maybe they've got medical stories in their past, too.
Sure, I've had guests who have medical stuff. Suffering is suffering. It doesn't matter what type.
But I would say, I am just amazed when I get to hear this show, which I do quite frequently, at how God comes in similar ways when I hear the story and the beauty of what you do is on your show, from my perspective, is to share the story. You know, life comes to it is a story, and to get it to the heart of the story is what you do in both your own story and then in your guest stories.
Nice.
So I always... eventually history is his story.
Exactly. I'm just a vessel. I'm just a vessel. Thank you, Bobby, for being with us. You're a great host, and I'm really learning from you. Thank you. For more information on Robbie Dillmore, go to GodIsTheCure.com. Look under guests, even though you may know him better through his radio. Let's pray. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me. In the presence of my enemies, You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you for being with us. Until next week, much love.
Listening to The Cure with Amy Cabo. For more information or to get Amy's book, Love is the Answer, God is the Cure, or to listen to the podcasts of previous shows, visit GodIsTheCure.com.